Hello, everyone. We are on page 382 in our study in document 93. We left off in our studies on Sunday introducing the concept of brainwashing. So we'll see how we do with that. It's a current subject, by the way, so it's nice to have a reminder of what that's all about. Let's pause for a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, you may use the option of rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for yet another opportunity to delve into your immutable word. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Want to define brainwashing? This comes from Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. A forcible indoctrination to induce someone to give up basic political, social, or religious beliefs and attitudes and to accept contrasting regimented ideas, persuasion by propaganda. Got a picture. This is a picture of a book that's been reprinted. I have the original. It was copyrighted in 1956. And it's a paperback version is what I have. And it's fallen apart over the years, but I hold it together with a rubber band. This is a new edition. And this is the title of the book written by Edward Hunter. He was an investigative journalist back in the day, and he decided to interview people who were in Korean re-education camps led by the Chinese. Our guys that were prisoners of war, so to speak, were taken up to North Korea and then over into Manchuria, a section of China, and there is where the brainwashing took place. And so there was a lot of indoctrination that went on with our guys. Some were able to overcome it, some were not, but it was a brand new approach to how people were treated as POWs. In other words, the whole idea by the Chinese was to change the way these guys thought and to do so in such a way that they would convert from whatever their present rationales were over to something quite different. So that is a sort of an imagery there of the lay of the land when all of this was going on. And a fellow by the name of Hunter, Edward Hunter, is the guy who wrote the original, and this is right here a reprint or a new edition. I'd like to read what is on Amazon.com about this book. Intelligence agency veteran and journalist Edward Hunter shares the experiences of men he interviewed who were subject to brainwashing as prisoners in totalitarian communist societies. A shocking yet informative expose of the history and techniques of brainwashing by communist military and security services. This book commences by delving into the origins of the practice. Ivan Pavlov, a vaunted scientist in the Soviet Union, was an unwitting aide to this process. His experiments on animals and the discoveries he made therein would form the basis of incarceration and interrogation methods used in multiple communist states. The object of such procedures was to break down a person's ego and rebuild it in the form of an unwavering supporter to communist ideology. Chapter by chapter, we're given a detailed guide to the physical and mental manipulations which comprise brainwashing. Supporting this information are multiple interviews and accounts of prisoners who lived to tell their ordeals. The link at the bottom of the page takes you to the Amazon page for this book. There were three copies available when I got this one this afternoon, so there are two left. But don't be bashful. Go ahead and order. And if it's sold out, then just order it anyhow, and you'll force them to replenish the supply. So we have brainwashing is the concept here. And that, of course, is something that we are experiencing presently. I won't get into any of the details, but you're very well familiar that we're being propagandized on a daily basis from many sources in this country. And when I say being propagandized, I'm only telling you something that's been going on for quite some while. In fact, what's going on is a Soviet version of what the communist Chinese did during the Korean War. And so what we're experiencing today is a brand of I would say, Russian brainwashing. And therefore, this is something under a new name. I can't quite remember it. The title of this doesn't make sense, but nevertheless, you need to do the investigations on that. But you are being propagandized on a daily basis. And you are the target. There are 330 million people in the country, and it is assumed that half of those need to be brainwashed. And I'm not telling you anything that's not in the news. You can read the articles yourself. And therefore, Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ and so on, obviously just by assumption, and in many cases I would assume factually, are not properly attuned to the new zeitgeist. And so these are the kinds of things that we're up against, and it's something that you see repeatedly in James. He's trying to get people's mind right in order to get through the day. The tongue is something that is obviously a very dangerous organ, and he is doing a great job of staying with the subject. And we're still in chapter 3, and we go to chapter 4 and then 5, and it's all about the tongue. And the tongue is a communication organ. It's able to communicate what you know to others, and what you know is in the soul, in the cardia. It is something that accumulates over time. You believe things and you disbelieve others. You're able to log on to mentally the certain aspects that you have gathered over a period of time, things in which you believe in, things that you think are absolutes, concepts and ideas that you share with others because you think it's good for them to know. And over a period of time, when you are indoctrinated in the lie, the whole process ultimately converts your inventory into what you think is the truth. And that's what brainwashing is all about. So there's nothing new under the sun. What happens in this book here happened in the 1950s during the Korean conflict, as it was called. So Hunter's brainwashing is simply a review of the introduction of brainwashing to the population of the United States. So you can see that there's been about, 60 years in round figures since this book was originally published. So this word was coined to describe the mental and physical mind control tactics the communists imposed upon Korean POWs during the 1950s. Tactics were developed and applied from research done by Ivan Pavlov, 1849 to 1936, who formulated experiments regarding the conditioned reflexes in dogs, which he codified into laws. This research was expanded by the communists in China and later by Korea, who applied its applications on American POWs during the Korean War, circa 1950 through 1954. Now, Pavlov was a Russian scientist whose research was strictly focused on the behaviors of dogs. He was just curious how dogs learned and what they could retain and then therefore perform as a result. It was Korean communists who used American POWs to replace the dogs. What the latter did to our soldiers was horrific, and from which emerged the word brainwashing. The idea behind that term has to do with taking whatever inventory a person has, in other words, a POW that's been captured and put in prison, And then indoctrinators come into the cell individually, or they can have them meet as a group arrangement. And then they would begin a process of deprogramming them, and therefore browbeating them about who they really are and telling them they're really bad people and here's why. And you just keep doing that day after day. When you're under pressure, you're a prisoner, you're in a foreign country, you're being held captive. They claim that you are an evil person because you're even there. And as a result of this, you're not a good person, and we need to find out if we can make you better. And so the brainwashing process continues, and the techniques and tactics that are used in order to get a person to come around to the manager's way of thinking. And so this is, Pavlov was able to do that with dogs. The communist Koreans and Chinese did it with people. So the diabolical term was proved to be an effective weapon in psychological warfare in the 1950s. Now, its tactics have been tested outside the laboratories and today are presently utilized by a wide variety of media, print, broadcast, film, and digital. There's hardly any place you can go today and you decide to log on to a medium of some kind. The medium is ready to propagandize you. For example, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch will propagandize you from the front page to the last. They will bloviate on the editorial page. I honestly don't have anything wrong with their activities on the editorial page. That's where the editors can write whatever they wish. And therefore, if the editors want to have a subject, and they can therefore comment on these things, that's where that should be regulated. In other words, do not do that in the news stories. They don't go by that rule, but nevertheless, that's okay on the editorial page. But all the rest of the paper has propaganda in some manner or fashion. There's something, somehow they avoid a lot of it on the sports pages. So nevertheless, what we have here is Edward Hunter bringing to our mind's eye how a lot of this got its beginning in the 1950s. There's nothing new under the sun. In fact, what we're implementing in our society today is brought in from the type of propaganda that the Russians, the communist Russians, used to overthrow that country in the 1917 area. And they propagandized the people and brainwashed them in the manner that they chose. And so what we have going on here is a Russian version of this. And you need to understand that you are being brainwashed. Whether they're attempting to brainwash you, you have Bible doctrine and you can see through this. But we have a peeling off, let's say, away from the absolutes of the Word of God over the course of the last, oh, let's say the 70 years since the Korean War and the subject we're addressing, let's just say those 70 years. There's 70 years of propaganda that are now being browbeaten into people, and they must believe it, and if not, they're not good people, and so on. The thing that is in opposition to that is truth, and the ultimate source of truth is the Word of God. And if you inculcate biblical absolutes into your soul, then God will honor that each time it's applied. But over a period of these 60 or 70 years, the Word of God has been diminished. People have died off. Others have come in. For example, the millennials seem to be the most dangerous group right now. And they've been propagandized from kindergarten to graduate school their entire academic careers. And so they have become, let's just say, the actual guys that have been taught how to think and therefore never cross their mind that what they think is erroneous because they've been propagandized from kindergarten. And so these are the people, they honestly believe that everything they think is true and they want everybody else to think that way as well. And so we have a situation now to where if you don't think the way they think, then something's desperately wrong with you and you need to be in some way propagandized. And so you have to go along with it. They can take your property. They can do all these kinds of things which are on their agenda with the present administration. And that's what they get to do because they were elected. And so we can stand fast as best we can. But they have a mission. They have plans. They have ideas. And they're busily implementing them now. And so what are you going to do about that? Well, there's not much you can do because they got elected. And so you can decide that you're going to stand up and fight the good fight, and good luck with that, but that's a volitional decision that each person must make individually. So we have Edward Hunter. He introduced us to this. He was a roving correspondent in the mid-1950s following the Korean War. He did research on those soldiers who returned from Chinese prison camps in Manchuria, where the soldiers were held and subjected to the horrors of brainwashing. And I showed you the map of that general area in the 1950s. In 1956, Hunter released a book, and I showed you the cover of the reprint, describing what went on in those camps, along with the history of brainwashing's origin and its development as a system of controlling the minds of its captives. So today, the techniques proved functional 70 years ago in China are systematically taking place in the classrooms of grammar, junior, senior, college, and graduate schools throughout the United States. The results of that indoctrination is in evidence among what are presently referred to as millennials or progressives. So these are the enemy there within the gates. They're the fifth column. Not necessarily these. There are plenty of others who have joined with them in this operation. Fellow citizens are in opposition to the foundational documents of the country, the Bill of Rights, the real freedoms that we have implemented in our foundational state papers, and these are things that are under assault. And therefore, if you remove these concepts, these ideas, these principles, if you remove those from the citizens, then they become slaves. And you have to come around to their way of thinking, or they will make life completely miserable for you. And they have all of this on their agenda. They're not bashful about it, if you've been keeping up. So this is something that is ongoing. They've only been in this a little over 3 months, so they've got a good ways to go. And they're making great progress. You'll have to tip your hat to them because they said that's what they were going to do. And I know they didn't say it really out loud, but we could add up the figures and knew what would happen if they did get power. And they're doing exactly what they said they would do. So it's not that they were bashful about it. The question and the answer has to be in the souls of believers as to how they are going to manage this situation. And I am telling you, and I am not bashful to tell you, your defense department is the royal law. And if you understand how the royal law works, then you can defend yourself against this onslaught. You've got to give yourself a lot of contemplation about how you're going to verbalize what you believe. And you've got to keep that verbalization in the context of the royal law. For example, what the current people in power are doing is simply the implementation of Russian communism into the United States fabric. And you are one of the targets. And you have to make up your mind how you're going to manage that. Are you going to continue go along as you've been taught from the Word of God and from your understanding of the establishment concepts under which this nation was founded? Or will you capitulate? Now remember, there are some companies that some of you may work for that are going to be bombarded, your managers and owners and so on, about whether or not people are coming around to their way of thinking and say, well, you know, we just let people think the way they want to. That's not a very good answer that the hierarchy should give back, but nevertheless, it would be true. However, that organization, that business, that function could therefore be put on a hit list, and you'd be out of a job because they can shut it down. I'm not making this up. You don't see it broad scale now, but they only just started. So I want you to know about brainwashing. Some would say that my job is to brainwash y'all. Come around to my way of thinking. Well, I don't have a way of thinking. I got teachers that, if those that are still alive, they can tell you I don't have very much of a way of thinking. So you don't want to follow me. But I do suggest you follow the Word of God, which I try to scramble together here ever so often to come over here and tell you about it. But this is the truth. And you have to be willing to put your entire life on the line for the truth. And it's an individual thing. There's some things I will not do. There were some things I will not say. Some places I will not go. That's got to be your attitude. And you're very kind about it. No, honestly, I've given that a great deal of thought. And personally, I just don't think I can do that. I'm certain other people may think differently, but I don't. I think I'm staying with what I have come to understand over time to be the policy that I personally subscribe to. And then they get to do what they want to do. That's where we are. Because the curricula of the federal schools are widespread and include virtually every public school system, the millennials were the group most completely indoctrinated by its propaganda. Completely indoctrinated. And this would turn, the best I can figure, millennials start about the year 2000 and go for about 20 years, so that they're adults now. And so these are the people most efficiently propagandized in the public school system. And therefore, some were able to eliminate that indoctrination because they were either homeschooled or went to a private school. But the vast majority of people that you know were educated in the school systems that simply were mills of propaganda for communism. Not called that, of course, but that was the curriculum anyway. Now, I'm happy to admit that if you take higher math, there's no way. Higher math is absolute. So if you were one of these mathematicians, then you got it straight. But there were other courses you had to take, and that's where the problem emerged. So these millennials are now old enough to be out of school and occupying positions within the workforce throughout the country, and some of whom have reached the age where they can run for office, and some have even been elected. And there are more to come. In the 21st century, the long-range impact of brainwashing has produced a population of propagandized individuals who are in complete opposition to the principles upon which this nation was founded. A lot of freedom. The freedom in this country is being besmirched by accusations of things that simply cannot be proved, but nevertheless are imputed. So you're going to have sins imputed to you, and you will be totally innocent of the sin assigned. And if you care to argue about it, then you're proving that you're as guilty as they've charged you. In the 21st century, the long-range impact of brainwashing has produced a population of propagandized individuals who are in complete opposition to the principles upon which this nation was founded, replacing the principles of liberty and freedom are efforts of silence to silence freedom of speech, except, of course, for their own, with which they espouse the foundational principles of communism. Now, based on the principles of brainwashing, here is why they are a threat to our society, our freedom, and our way of life. This is an excerpt from the book Brainwashing by Edward Hunter. Originally, There were two words for this new strategy of mind attack. One was brainwashing. The other was brain changing. See, there's nothing new under the sun right now. The former referred to pressures just short of the atrocity of overt interference by medical science with the functions of the brain. Brain changing meant alterations in thinking brought about by the sort of treatment hitherto identified with a doctor's prescription or a surgeon's scalpel. The idea was simplicity itself, merely to remove a human being's memory of some specific incident and then to insert a new and different memory in place of the old. This is a process, and it has to take place over a long, continuous period of time. For example, forget the adults, according to Gramsci. Just start with kindergarten and go through graduate school. A highly educated person who bends medical discoveries to the practice of mind attack is incalculably more evil than any savage using potions, trances, and incantations. The word brain changing became obscured as brainwashing began to emerge and embrace all the available pressures that could be utilized to bend a man's will and change his attitudes fundamentally. Brain changing is specifically referring to the complete job and all of its wickedness. I want to show you a picture, another picture. Showed you a book earlier. This is a DVD from a movie, and I've seen it. And if I remember correctly, I saw it in a movie house. It's called The Manchurian Candidate. It stars Frank Sinatra, Lawrence Harvey, and Janet Leigh, and none other than Jessica Fletcher. Here's the blurb from Amazon. Eerie, shocking, daring, thrilling, and mesmerizing, The Manchurian Candidate will leave you breathless, people. Featuring an all-star cast, including Angela Lansbury, in an Oscar-nominated performance, and I remember her. I didn't know who Angela Lansbury was when I originally saw this, and I was afraid of that woman. She was frightening. Then she became Jessica Fletcher. It's like your grandmother. Well, anyway, there she is. And therefore, an Oscar-nominated performance, this chilling and controversial Leonard Maltin film may be the most sophisticated political satire ever made, according to Pauline Kael. When a platoon of Korean War GIs is captured, they somehow end up at a ladies' club party. Or do they? Major Bennett Marco, Frank Sinatra, can't remember. As he searches for the answer, he discovers threads of a diabolical plot orchestrated by the utterly ruthless Mrs. Iceland, who is Lansbury, and involving her war hero son, Lawrence Harvey, her senator husband, James Gregory, and a secret cabal of enemy leaders. This movie is available on Amazon on Prime Video, Blu-ray, and DVD. I recommend it to you. But you won't doze off, I can assure you of that. So that's The Manchurian Candidate. And the things that occur in this movie are the kinds of things that are reported in the book Brainwashing. So if you want to have a little retrospective, going back in time and taking a look at how all of this began in certain very notable areas, then this movie and that book can help you orient and adjust to that period of time, as well as seeing how the application of both of these venues, whether it be the print medium or the video medium, they both take into consideration what is being perpetrated upon the client nation today. And so these two are available to you on Amazon.com. Now, moving forward, brainwashing children is much easier to accomplish than with full-grown adults. So the adults accumulate over time belief systems. And one of the places where this should be occurring consistently over time is at a church where the pastor communicates absolute truth on the Word of God to a congregation of believers. In other words, these people are saved. They have the Holy Spirit as a teacher. They have the ability to concentrate on absolute thought from the Word of God and build that inventory that is retained in their souls, and therefore aggrandize there over time and becomes an inventory of applying that truth to the world and the situations and circumstances that occur there. That is what a church is for, is to give the information that supersedes that of the laws of divine establishment. Supersedes in importance is what I mean by that statement. You need the laws of divine establishment. You're taught these kinds of ideas as a child. And then when you enter adult society, you have the foundational concepts on how to manage everyday ups and downs in a devil's world. But the other concept rises above all of this for the believer, because they can inculcate the thinking of the Word of God in their souls, and these are absolute truths that when applied, God honors. And so therefore you have two things going for you. You have absolute truth from the Word of God, and you have cultural standards that you have accumulated over time from childhood. That, by the way, is why parents are extremely important in inculcating those ideas into the children's souls. Destroy the family, and that teaching mechanism over 18 to 21 years is non-functional. Therefore, people are easily manipulated because they don't have absolute concepts to subscribe to, and therefore they go on their emotion and their personal whims. So we have that. So we have this concept of brainwashing. The tactics utilized in brain changing and brainwashing are obviously overkill. Starting the process at the earliest possible ages, teachers can go directly to propagandizing. And they're trained. Look, these people, the teachers, were trained to think this way when they were in school. And they went to the grammar schools, the senior high schools, the universities, and graduate school. That's where they were indoctrinated. And therefore, when they enter a classroom as a teacher, they're teaching the truth that they were taught to be truth. And their job is to pass that truth along to the little munchkins that show up in their classrooms. And that's been going on for 100 years, but most especially since the 1960s. So we have starting the process at the earliest possible ages, teachers can go directly to propagandizing, James 3:15. This wisdom, Sophia, is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, it is natural, and it is demonic. It's right out of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, actually. Lucifer is involved in this 100%, has always been in that gear, and will continue to be so. And he has minions, and he's arranged to have many in critical points presently in client nation America. That's why it's called the invisible war. That's why it's called the appeal. We're simply in a court case, the Divine Court of Appeals. And it started, the Divine Court went in session back in Eden. And there are a few who are witnesses for the prosecution over the long haul. Client nations carve out appeal of real estate where people can gather who have the desire to know these things, accumulated in their souls, and make application on a daily basis. And they're protected because of the laws of divine establishment that are subscribed to by people of that ilk. And then they grow in grace and have this powerful inventory to apply to their personal lives. And they do it collectively as the people and the citizens of a client nation. And when over a period of time, that system is diminished and ultimately removed and replaced by something else that is said to be true, then you have the decline of a client nation. And therefore, in 2021, we see this one spiraling out of existence, except for the fact we don't know what's in the divine decree. So, but remember that. God is in charge, and He can do things and have things occur that are in His decree that He therefore imputes to our advantage. There have been client nations all over Europe and the Levant and all over that area in the Middle East, going all the way back to the very first priest nation. Every one of them fell. So far, all Gentile client nations have fallen. We therefore are ripe for the pickings. But our job is to continue to press the attack, move forward, concentrate on our responsibility, which is to continue to grow in grace, and we'll see how things play out. We don't have prophecy to tell us what's going to happen, but God has His decree, and He knows what's going to happen. Whether He pulls our fat out of this fire is up to Him. Our job in the interim is to keep moving forward with our duties, which is primarily to grow in grace, and then secondly, apply what we know. So we have Sophia. Now this verse begins with a pronoun houtos, this. It refers to the following noun, Sophia, wisdom, which is typically related to the thinking acquired from Bible study, resulting in divine viewpoints. So you see the process there. You show up, you listen, concentrate. You say, I get that. I have an inventory large enough to understand what's being communicated here, and therefore I've got that, and I am aggrandizing it in my cardia for application at a future point. Yet this wisdom referred to in James 3:13 is negated in verse 15, where the present active indicative of the verb eimi is nullified by the particle uk, translated not. Therefore, this wisdom is not. Now, the word Sophia, wisdom, is positively defined as, quote, skill in the affairs of life, including the idea of sound judgment and good sense. But this is not the case here. It's not the case here. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. And there are people who have subscribed to these ideas. They think what they now believe is absolutely true and must be implemented, and there can be no people who decide not to go along with their ideas. That's called totalitarianism. What follows is the reality of what occurs in the souls of those in verse 14 who are said, we have pseudomai kata tes aletheia, lie against the truth. They lie against the truth. The truth is the lie for them. And you have to have an inventory of biblical absolutes in your soul, the Christian does, in order to identify the lie when it is presented as the truth. And the person with that biblical inventory can do this, sniff it out and reject it. But if you take James 3, verses 13 through 15, you see the rock and roll there among those three verses. And what James is getting across is there's some people who buy the truth, aletheia, and some people who buy the lie and claim it's the truth. And that's where we are in our client nation. Now, the wisdom in verse 13 is not that which comes down in verse 15. It is the present middle participle of kater ka'amai. This kind of wisdom's origin is said to be from above. That is, from God through the content of truth which is found in Scripture. Now, the wisdom referred to in verse 15 is classified as earthly, natural, and demonic. Now, there are three modifiers of this category of wisdom found in their origin in the devil's world. They are promoted by Lucifer and his associates who populate the dark side, and of course, they're therefore demonic. You can sniff out demonism. It's going to be an individual. There are no demons running around that you can see, but they have somehow broken free from the Satanic Academy and propagandized others to buy the lie and then incorporated them into academia so that you can be propagandized. And where academia used to be the primary place, now we have other places, for example, publishing. Have you been in a bookstore lately? It's a frightening experience. I went in a bookstore, it's been several years ago. I used to meander into bookstores and see what I could find. Not anymore. It's unnerving to see the titles of books and the categories of tomes that are in there. But you can find your good books. You have to have it shipped to the front door, but you can do that. But the concept of the truth being inverted to the lie, pseudos, is well underway. And everybody is buying the lie, believing it's true. So as I look across the congregation today, are we surprised? Are we surprised? In other words, we're the last hope. And I don't just mean our congregation, I mean all Christian congregations that have a decent exposition of the Word of God for their congregants. I can't tell you how many people have died that have been positive to Bible doctrine over the 37 years I've been here. But they can no longer contribute to the present problem. They're with the Lord. They got out of Dodge. Who's taking their place? Very few. Too hard. Too academic, I'm told. How do these people get out of school? You know, I was on their side there for a long while when I started going, especially to high school, and they started, before high school, you had these classes where you had like one teacher and maybe another one along the way, but like primarily was one homeroom teacher, and they taught everything. And then I got to high school, like a freshman, and we had to go to a different room for everybody to teach you a different thing. And that was unnerving to me. But you had to go to another place in order to learn the next subject. Now, the same thing is going on in spades, so that when people go to school, they're going to listen to someone teach them a subject that has wound around it in some way, a concept, an idea, or a principle associated with the new zeitgeist. It's hard to do that with math without numbers, but most of the other things you can mess with. There are three modifiers of this category of wisdom found in the origin of the devil's world. They are promoted by Lucifer and his associates who populate the dark side and are therefore demonic. The first adjective is said to be epigeous, earthly, a stark contrast between the wisdom common to the devil's world and the wisdom that originates from heaven. So there are two kinds of wisdom, the Satanic Academy and the Divine Academy. Now you matriculate in the Divine Academy, the people with whom you associate now more and more are accumulating in the Satanic Academy are graduates. They're in graduate school of the Satanic Academy. The second adjective is psychikos, natural rather than spiritual, and common for the thinking and instincts of unbelievers and cosmic believers. James 3:15 reads this, has this comment associated with it. Psychikos describes that which is earthly and which is thus closed to the world of God. The earth or lower sphere is governed by wicked demons and hence gives rise to strife, unrest, and conflict. That's from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament about James 3:15. I want to read it again. Psychikos describes that which is earthly and which is thus closed to the world of God. Psychikos. The earth, a lower sphere, is governed by wicked demons. Do you believe this? That sentence right there, that it's a compound, but that first part of the compound, the earth or lower sphere is governed by wicked demons. This is James 3:15. That means that there are fallen angels that are well involved, deeply involved in the communication of the cosmic lie. Therefore, you have to answer a question. How can this occur? It's called demon possession. And hence gives rise to strife, unrest, and conflict. They're fomenting conflict against the citizens of this country who've done nothing to warrant it other than disagree. Now, the third adjective is demoniodes, demonic originating from the lower spirit world. You've got to buy into this. I don't want to ever hear anybody say that is just the language of the Koine Greek in the first century. Illustrative, but not absolute. This is James. Demoniodes, demonic originating from the lower spirit world. Let's take a look at some excerpts. This from the Exegetical Dictionary of the New Testament. In James 3:15, the wisdom is attributed to a demonic origin. False teaching is considered the work of the devil according to 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 Peter 5:8, 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. God and his angels stand in opposition to a great host of demons. God and his angels stand in opposition to a great host of demons, fallen angels, who are organized militarily under Lucifer himself. Demons originated from the fall of heavenly beings. Now I want to show you some pictures. Principles on demon influence. After King Saul was rejected by God because of his prolonged disobedience and reversionism, he came under personal demonic attack. This is King Saul. In 1 Samuel 16:14-16, and verse 23, in chapter 18, verse 10, and chapter 19, verse 9. So in these passages, the Hebrew prepositions indicate that Saul was never indwelt by a demon. You'd think that he was, but you have no indication of such in the text, either in the text that I've cited here or anywhere else. He didn't do what he did because he was demon-possessed. There's no record that such happened. In each account, the demon came upon. The word there is al, or came to, el. So the demon came to him, walked up to him, to Saul, and terrorized him. These prepositions are in contrast to the Hebrew preposition be, which means into or within. That is not found. However, be is not present in any of the above passages. Furthermore, the demon was never portrayed as being, quote, cast out of Saul. You do not find that phrase. While believers can come under demon influence, they cannot be demon possessed. If Old Testament believers like Saul, who were not permanently endued with the Holy Spirit, could not be demon possessed, how much more impossible for a church age believer permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit to be demon possessed? Note 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. No demon can indwell the believer's body since God the Holy Spirit has made it, the believer's body, a temple for the indwelling of Christ. We are defended from that assault because of the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have that power. Now, we can take the flak coming in, and we may make poor decisions with regard to that, and therefore either verbalize or overtly commit one of these crimes against the truth. But we're never going to be demon-possessed. That's impossible to do. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ do not associate with demons. They do with you as a believer. I want to look at the right-hand column, cosmic two hatred. First of all, you have antagonism toward God and the plan of God. Who are we talking about here? This is cosmic two hatred complex. These are the kinds of things both unbelievers and believers can become involved in to a certain degree. Secondly, enemy of God. Third, fight Bible doctrine. Four, emphasize human viewpoint instead of divine viewpoint. Five, Satan's mental attitude after the fall of man. Satan's mental attitude. The believer in reversionism takes on Satan's mental attitude in cosmic hatred. Six, philosophy of Satan in the historical extension of the angelic conflict. You see his philosophy on the front burner right now. Seven, philosophy of Satan as the ruler of this world. He's the guy running the show. This is his outfit, really. We're intruders. We're witnesses for the prosecution. How many of those are there? Eight, inculcated with the philosophy of Satan after the fall of man. Inculcated with the philosophy of Satan after the fall of man. And finally, enslaved to Satan. Enslaved. Now look at the opposition. Look what we're up against. Believers who function in the cosmic two hatred complex are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're in opposition to the Word of God. And there are those in the cosmic system that are unbelievers who practice these kinds of things in spades. That's the opposition. That's where we are right now. You are the ones, our few, our precious few, you're the ones who have to hold the line. Jesus became Lord over the devil and demonic powers through his own death, resurrection, and exaltation. Indeed, where now the devil, death, and other demons are allowed to rage, they have already lost their power and are condemned to a fiery end. But the angelic conflict still rages. Their doom is certain and sure. They're doing everything they can to stave it off as long as possible. That's what's going on right now. They're frantic. They're frantic to get rid of client nation America so they can have their way yet again. And you're the only thing holding them back. James 3:15, an expanded translation. This category of wisdom is not that which finds its origin in heaven, but is common to cosmos diabolicus. Common to human viewpoint. Common to human good and evil. And the doctrines of demons. So we introduced the study of Book of James with several lessons on the subject of reversionism. So far in chapter 3, we've observed that the first 14 verses have provided numerous examples and situations that serve to define and illustrate the various stages of reversionism. I think I can even show you that picture. We won't go into it because we're out of time. But reversionism is a part of the current situation. Believers are in reversionism. That's why the chaos has emerged. It's not because of the dark side's successes. It's because of believers' failures. And so many people, Joe Henry and I come from the same hometown, and people on both sides of our ledgers are dying because we're old. That's what happens when you keep breathing. You get to a point where you can't do it anymore. You die. So they're getting out of Dodge. So that's going to occur broadly over the course of this entire nation over the next few years. And the people that are leaving the battlefield are people who primarily are going to be those presently who can fight this war just another day or two. So a lot of people are being taken off the battlefield, diminishing the number who are still there as witnesses for the prosecution, while new recruits are coming up for the dark side. We'll resume our study tomorrow evening. Father, we thank you for the update on the cosmic contest. James is involved in illuminating to us our failures as well as our successes, our obligations. Our steadfastness is required. We're in a war. It's invisible, but nevertheless, the armament has to do with the power of your word. May we therefore make that primary as we inculcate your truth into our souls as our lone, immutable defense department. We thank you for the power it provides as we lift our prayer of gratitude. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen.